We're going to turn this morning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 17 down to the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, reading at verse number 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's commit our word and our way to the Lord just now in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God that is before us. And Lord, we realize that Thou hast given to us doctrines in Thy Word. Thou hast also given us practice. And Father, we pray that every one of us who know the Lord will be practical Christians, living out the teaching of Thy Word in our lives every day. And Father, we pray it just now as we come to meditate upon Thy truth. We pray that Thou would bury it deep in our hearts, that, Lord, as we move into a new year, we'll leave the baggage of the old year behind, and grant, O God, we'll press forward toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To this end, we pray that Thou would speak and encourage every child of Thine. We pray, O God, you'll speak by Thy power. And, Lord, should there be one here this morning that knows not the Lord, we pray that Thou would speak to that one by Thy power. Hear this, our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Kindness and virtue and forgiveness are sometimes human virtues that you'll find in the world round about, and they are pleasant to see. With all humanity's sins and faults and society's failures, there are still people who are kind and they are forgiving. You'll find this within the realms of people's families. Sometimes you'll find it in the wider sphere of friendships, and sometimes even beyond that you'll find people who are in the world and they do show the milk of human kindness and forgiveness. But while it's sometimes seen in the world, these are essential ingredients of the life of the child of God. There is an elementary truth, and that is that we need to take the pardon of our sins very, very seriously, because that is a broad platform upon which each of us stand for eternity. Some years ago, my wife and I visited the famous Leaning Tower of Pisa, and it was leaning because of a problem. One part of the circle was built on rock, and the other part, the other half, was built on sand. And over a period of time, the sandy part began to compress, and the tower began to go over. And so they had to start a real program not so long ago to get it stabilized, to keep it from falling over, because I don't think anybody's going to watch a pile of stones on the ground as a tourist attraction, but they like to see the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And as we build for eternity, we build on the rock, the solid rock of God's forgiveness. And the child of God can lift his eyes to heaven and he can say, I am forgiven. And friends, never underestimate the blessing that is to be able to look to God. And in the long alphabet of the experiences that we have in life, the forgiveness of sins certainly qualifies as an A. Now today I want to highlight two scriptures. One is found in the Old Testament in Psalm number 32, and I'll read it to you. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's the first verse. And the second one is Ephesians chapter 4, the last verse that we read, where it says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so this morning, I want to look at the subject of forgiveness and forgiving. First of all, what we experience as believers, and then what we ought to practice as those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I do want you to notice, too, the wording. It's not that the Lord is saying, blessed is he whose transgression will be forgiven. But rather, it is in the past tense. And again, here in Ephesians 4 and 32, we are to be forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath in the past forgiven you. So the believer today knows the forgiveness of God, and therefore we are as well as that to show forgiveness to others round about us. Now I want to look first of all at the blessing that we have received, where it says here in Ephesians that God hath forgiven you. And again it says in the Psalm, blessed. David here equates the happiness of the soul with the forgiveness of sin and iniquity. And in our world today, the world is clamoring after wealth. And I heard just a few days ago, I think it was, a listing of the most wealthy people in Canada. And one of them, I forget the exact number, but one of them, he had an estate valued at several billion dollars. So that's several thousand million dollars. And you have in this country some people who are extremely wealthy, very, very wealthy indeed. But the question comes, what does it matter to somebody who can count his estate as $8 or $10 billion if he cannot say, I am forgiven? Because all the money that he has will never overtake and improve the situation if he cannot lift his eyes to God and say, I am forgiven. The psalmist says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. He does not say, blessed is he who does not sin. He says, blessed is he whose sin is forgiven and whose transgression is forgiven, because it presupposes that every one of us are sinners and we have sinned against Almighty God. We're all indicted by sin in this world, but thank God there is forgiveness with the Lord. Now, sin is a very complex thing, because the psalmist tells us, first of all, he calls it transgression. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Now to transgress is to go across. And God has given us a law, and when we go across the law and do not go parallel with it in obedience to it, when we go across it, then we break the law of God and it becomes sin in the act. And I've been trying to get into the minds of our students in the school in recent assemblies that when the devil comes, he puts a thought into your mind. And that thought is the devil's temptation. But when you begin to dwell on it, and then you begin to act on it, his temptation becomes your sin. So we do transgress the law of the Lord, all of us, and we've sinned against the Lord. The psalmist also speaks about the word sin itself, and that is a sin in principle. And every one of us, we are sinners by nature of the fact that we are fallen sons and daughters of Adam's fallen race. And then the psalmist also speaks of iniquity. And this is a word that has the sense of sin as an offense to God. Not just crossing his law, but offending God. And every one of us, we have piled up a mountain of sin. But what a blessing it is to be able to say, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how does God forgive our sin? That's easy to ask and it's easy to read, but the whole thing is very, very complex. Over in Romans chapter 4, we read these words, to him that worketh not, that is works of righteousness, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In other words, it's telling us that we cannot by our works attain righteousness, but God, he counts it to our case, our belief in Christ, he counts it as righteousness. And then in Romans, Paul goes on to quote the psalm that we've read, Psalm 32. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now that word impute is a key word in the book of Romans. And you'll find there that in the Romans, the Lord speaks and Paul speaks over and over again of the imputation of righteousness. And we discover in the Word of God that the Lord, he does not impute sin to us, but rather he imputes righteousness. Now, how can we look at that in an easy manner to remember? First of all, look upon your life as a ledger, a financial ledger. And on one side, you have the debit page, the payouts, and then you have the income page, that which comes in. Now, as we look at the debit page of our lives, we discover there that we have sinned grievously against God, and we have a listing there of sins, like the children sing sometimes, my sin rose as high as a mountain. And so we have an enormous debt, and every day it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I just saw the figure there of the debt of the United States, and it's in the trillions of dollars. Unbelievable, the debt that they have in the States. And yet, that's nothing compared to the debt that we have to Almighty God. We have built up this debt in that ledger. Now, the problem is that in order to blot out that and to pay that debt, you would have to have infinite time on this side to do works of righteousness to blot out that which is there. But you haven't got time. He's only here for a short while, and even if we had time, we still can't blot out that handwriting that's against us in the Word of God. So we discover then that the Bible tells us that the Lord, he does impute to the believer the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so over on the credit page, where we did not have sufficient credit to blot out our debt to God, in the credit page, God puts in there a tremendous blessing and a tremendous gift. And that is the gift of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in order to get into heaven, you have to be perfectly righteous. The Bible tells us that without a righteousness that exceeds the scribes and Pharisees, we shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. And again, we're told in Revelation that nothing that is defiled shall enter into heaven. And so we've got to get rid of this debt that we have. We've got to get that stain taken away. We've got to get that wiped out. And we can't do it ourselves. Because no matter how much we try, we never can accumulate enough to blot out that tremendous number of sins against us. And so we discover that the Lord, in forgiving sin, does two things. Number one, He blots out that page with all the sins on it. He blots that page completely, totally, and eternally out of our record. So that's in the negative sense. He blots it out. Then on the credit page, He puts in there the gift of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are blessed with this tremendous gift of God. And Isaiah, he said, He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. So the Lord, He has blessed us by blotting out the sin and by putting in the credit page, the imputation or the adding of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to our case. You see a wonderful picture of that in Joshua the high priest in the book of Zechariah, because it tells us there how that he was dressed in filthy rags. And the Lord told the angel to go and take the filthy rags off and to clothe them in fine garments. And that's a wonderful picture of what the Lord does to us, because in Isaiah we read that all of us, we are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So we come before God dressed in the rags of our sin. But then we discover here again that He says, He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. And so we are blessed. And here is the true rags to riches story. Because we were dressed in rags of sin, but now we have come to rejoice in the blessing and the riches of His salvation. Remember years ago, in Dr. Paisley's church, way back in the early 50s this would be, there's an old Scottish evangelist who used to come over. He used to preach in the tent hall in Glasgow, and he was quite a character. And his name was Charlie Mayne. Some of you may have heard of him, but Charlie was a faithful servant of the Lord. And he used to sing a little rhyme that always stuck in me, and that is that when you come to Christ, he would sing, "Glory to God, I've come home." And then he would go on to say, "From herringbone picking to roast beef and chicken, glory to God, I've come home." In other words, that the transformation in the life of a saved sinner is just like, more so than going around the bins and picking out an old herringbone and trying to pick some flesh off it, but now he's got roast beef and chicken. Glory to God, I've come home. And so we should rejoice today and remember the blessing of God's salvation. And not only that, but that every sin is completely blotted out, not just some of them. It tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin, not just some sin, not just many sins, not just most sins, but from all sins. And again, it cleanses us from all unrighteousness, not just some or most, but all unrighteousness. And so every sin is covered and cannot be retrieved. And the reason why we sang Psalm 103 is because of that verse 12, where it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." It doesn't say north to south, because you can actually pinpoint the North Pole on this globe in which we live. You can also pinpoint the southern pole, the south pole on the globe, on the earth. But you can't put an east point or a west point, because they never, ever have a point. And so as far as east is from the west, so far hath God removed our transgressions from us. It is an innumerable distance, taken away, blotted out, buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness, blotted out even as a thick cloud. And so the pardoned man and the pardoned woman who's forgiven can say, "Hallelujah, my sins are gone." Remember, little children used to sing, "Gone, gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone, buried in the deepest sea." They're gone. And so today, the believer can rejoice that there is no divine displeasure over the child of God. Wesley got it when he quoted from Romans 8, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them that walk, those who are in Christ Jesus." And we have this absolute forgiveness, and today we can lift our eyes to heaven. We may not have very much of this world's goods, but we can say, "I am forgiven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My sins, which are many, are gone, gone, and gone forever and forever." So there's a blessing, and we should remember and thank the Lord that we have been forgiven. But then that brings a second point, which is a blessing to be given. Because in Ephesians 4 and 32, it encourages us to be kind one to another, tender-hearted. And then this expression, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That word "even" there, that is the great motivation for the forgiving spirit. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, then we should be of a forgiving nature. Sadly, sometimes that is not the case within the life of the believer. The Lord Jesus gives a wonderful illustration in Matthew chapter 18, where he tells there about a king. And this king had a servant, and this servant was seriously in debt to the king, to the extent of 10,000 talents of silver. And if you work that out roughly by today's valuation, that would be about 50 million. So here is a servant of the king who was seriously in debt to the king, and the king wanted repayment. And the man came and he says, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." But the king looked at him with compassion. And it says he was moved with compassion, and he loosed him from his debt, and he forgave him the debt. And so now he rejoices that this tremendous burden of about $50 million in our money was lifted from his shoulders. But then the Lord went on to say how that this man, that he remembered, he owed the $50 million, so he mustn't have had very much. So now he's got rid of the debt. And so he focused on another man that owed him money. And what was owed to him, we're told, was 100 pence. And 100 pence in our day would be about $80 to $100. And so he went to him and he told him to pay. Pay me back what you owe. And that man also, he tried to get forgiveness and to get some easing of his burden of debt. But this servant who was forgiven much would not accept that and was going to haul him into prison till every single cent was paid. But then the Lord, he told him that this is a tremendous problem. Here's one man forgiven of a tremendous debt, and yet now he's going to take the other guy by the throat and try and get the money out of him. It was only a pittance. And the Lord drew the moral of that from Luke 12 and 48. "For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required." And as we consider this morning what the Lord has done for our souls and how he has forgiven us, then we need to realize that we also have responsibility, having been forgiven much, to show forgiveness to those who are round about us, and pray that the Lord would bless. Now, there's three things that Paul mentions here. He tells us that we are to be kind to one another, affectionate feeling towards others with regard to service for the Lord. He also mentions there we are to be tender-hearted, soft, in the sense of having an impressionable heart and state, moved by the needs of others, disposed to act kindly, and then forgiving, a loving spirit that would prefer to suffer itself than to hurt other people. And yet you'll find that even the lives of believers, there is sometimes a tendency to get their own back in others and not to be forgiven, because we forget how much we have been forgiven by the Lord. Now, God did not wait for us to come and approach Him with regard to the burden that we had. But the Lord Himself, He made the first move toward us. And He came down from glory, down to this world to die on the cross, and by dying to blot out our sins. And that wasn't something that we initiated. The Lord did that. I wonder, is there somebody here today and you have a problem with somebody else? And you have a concern and you're waiting for them to take the step. I'm not going to forgive them until they come to me. And I remember hearing a person in my presence pounding a table and saying, regarding somebody else, I will never forgive that person. I will never forgive that person. I will never forgive that person. And that was a believer who said that in my presence. My friend, you think of what the Lord has said here, what the Lord has done. So we are to assist others if we can. And we are to try, if we can, forgive them for whatever it is, and need to remove every stumbling block. And that's why sometimes you have to be willing to suffer hurt yourself in order to help another brother or sister that you have some difference with. And then to think, too, that the Lord didn't give us a limited forgiveness. Because if there was one sin that was not cancelled, we're still on the way to hell. But when the Lord Jesus Christ forgave us, He forgave every sin. I wonder today, are you harboring some grudge in your heart against somebody and you are not willing to forgive? My friend, what would you have done if God had treated you just like that? Forgive and forget is the old statement. And you say, is that possible? It is possible. You go back in the book of Genesis and you find there Joseph, and you find the trouble that he came through, his brethren threw him into the pit and so on, and that led him to Egypt and finally into the prison there for something he didn't do. And so Joseph had a terrible time in his early life before he finally got to the palace and became a second in command to Egypt. But when Joseph's son was born, he called him Manasseh. And Manasseh is a name that means forgive. Because Joseph said, God has caused me to forget all the past. And so now he's looking at the present and is looking to the future, and you can read that wonderful story of the reconciliation of Joseph and his brethren as they were in the famine situation in Egypt at that time. So the Lord can deal with our hearts, and He can give us a forgiving spirit, and He can also get us to forget, because our problem is we keep remembering. Remembering always keeps rising up before us when the Lord is saying that we are to forgive. Another problem we have to consider is that even in the life of believers, you can have a hard heart. You can have a heart that's encrusted by hard behavior. And friends, that is not good. And sometimes the incrustation is caused by pride. And again, what have we got to be proud about? Nothing. Nothing to boast in save in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have a tender heart. There's something over here that I like very much that you probably would never want to eat. But when I go to a fish and chip shop, I love to get mushy peas. Now, you might not like mushy peas, but if you saw them when you get them first, they don't look very good because they're dried. And they are hard. But what you have to do is to put those dried, hard peas, you put them into a bowl, and you soak them in water. And let them steep all night. And then gradually they soften, then you boil them up and makes a very nice addition to the fish and chips. You can try it the next time you go for fish and chips. Some people don't like that idea, but I can tell you, I do. So you have to steep them. And sometimes we as believers, our hearts are like those old peas. They get so hard, they get encrusted. And we need to get our hearts to just steep and soak in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and of God. And you'll find that God will soften and enlarge your heart. My friend today, am I speaking to you? I don't know. I'm not aware of any situation in the congregation, but I do know that when I was praying about this service, the Lord led me to this subject, forgiveness and being forgiven. So I presume there's somebody here, and this message is getting you below the fifth rib, because you know that you should have got the matter put right. And so the Lord wants us to be of forgiving nature, we who have been forgiven. In a closing word, we're coming almost to the end of this year, and the end of the year is a good time to take stock. You take stock of where you are financially. The income tax people make sure you do that. And it's a good time to take stock to where you are spiritually. And we have said many a time as we travel from one year to the next year, and tell the people, leave behind the baggage of this year. And let's take into 2008 those things that are good and wholesome and will be good for the extension of the kingdom of the Lord, but let's leave the baggage behind, the old stuff, the rubbish. Get rid of it. And so we come to the end of the year. This is a good time to take stock of our lives and say, well, Lord, is there something there? Because you'll find a case there in David when he became the king, that there was a problem, and the Lord wouldn't answer prayer for him. Until David discovered there was something in the history of Israel with regard to their dealings with certain people, and until David put that right, he couldn't get his prayers answered. And then when he did put it right with regard to the sons of Saul, you discover that it says, then was the Lord entreated for Israel. So there may be something residing in some heart here today, and you're not advancing spiritually. And you're not getting your prayers answered because this problem is there, this hardness of heart. This is a good time to take stock and look in. Look into your own heart, and I look into mine and see if there is something there. Because the Lord tells us if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. But we want to have our prayers heard, we want to have them answered. And so this is a good time to throw out the garbage. But then we're coming to a unique occasion, the 18th of January. Because in that time, the baton for this church leadership will be passing from my hands into the hands of Dr. Saunders, whom the congregation has elected to succeed me, and I rejoice in that. But as we come to that date, I hope that we'll not carry from this ministry into the next one something that should have been gotten rid of long ago. If there's some residual lack of forgiveness that is not pleasing to God, let's get rid of it so when Dr. Saunders comes and takes over, he will not have to correct something that goes back to my day, but rather we'll be able to go forward and go forward in the power of the living God. And remember, as we close, what Jesus said in Matthew 6. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, Jesus said, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That is a very serious word spoken by the Lord Jesus. And this morning, let us each one individually examine our own hearts and see if there be any wicked way within us. And may the Lord soften our hearts and give us that forgiving spirit that's willing to forget and face the future and go forward with nothing to drag us back, but rather to go forward by the power of the living God. Forgiven much? Yes. We are to be much forgiving, because the Lord told us there that we are to do that to the glory of the Lord and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before Thee and we thank Thee that Thou hast eyes of omniscience that can look in not just to physical things, but can look into the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Lord, Thou dost know the hearts of every individual one here. And Lord, Thou dost know us where we have harbored resentment and other things that are not glorifying to Thee and not conducive to the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we pray today that Thou wouldst soften our hearts in Calvary love, that Thou wouldst remind us of the great debt that we owe to God that was written off entirely by the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. And Lord, that we who have been much forgiven, O God, help us likewise to have a tender heart and a forgiving spirit and do that to the glory of the Lord our God. And even, Lord, as I've read here, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And Lord, if we keep short accounts with Thee according to that word, we shall be blessed and be able to say, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered neath the precious blood of the Lamb. Hear this our prayer and bless us. And Lord, help us to be practical Christians, living out the doctrine of Thy word in our lives day by day. Hear this our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is 535. This is a hymn that is not so well known. We sung it in the prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago, but it's a very good hymn in terms of the words. No, not despairingly come I to Thee. No, not distrustingly bend I the knee. The sin hath gone o'er me, yet is this still my plea. Jesus hath died. And then you go on in verse 4, faithful and just art Thou, forgiving all. Loving and kind art Thou when poor ones call. Lord, let the cleansing blood, blood of the Lamb of God, pass o'er my soul. 535, we'll sing the first verse and the fourth and fifth.